One of my favorite things to do in church, to do, is praise and worship. I just feel at home when I'm worshiping. Does anybody else feel that way? And so, today I had it in my heart to share about the truth about praise and worship, about our voice. For some reason, I don't understand why, but our bodies long to worship something. Our bodies just create things to worship. If we're not worshiping the right God, we're going to be worshiping something else. If we don't keep it ourselves in check, we'll create idols and start worshiping those idols. The Israelites did it. There's countless times they did it, actually. They did it a bunch of times. It seems like every time God did something for them so awesome, God sent one of the judges, brought them back, and then they created an idol, and they fell back. And so our bodies long for a worship, to worship something. So if we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping something else. But I'm gonna be talking about praise and worship. And I'm gonna focus on the singing, the dancing, the hand raising, the action part of worship, not the music worship. But I don't wanna forget and clarify, first of all, that we worship every single day. We are to praise God at all times and have an attitude of worship at all times, have a thankful attitude of what God has done for us at all times. That just goes at all times. But I'm not going to focus on that today. I'm going to focus on actual congregational praise and worship. So, like, I start everything, every time I'm up here. Definitions. First of all, what is music? What is music? When you hear somebody say, music, what's the thought that comes to your head? Guitar, piano? Piano? Remember, you guys, I'm... No, it's singing. Remember, I don't move on unless I hear you guys.
Radio.
Rap? Okay. Where's Ivan?
Bird singing.
All music is things you hear, right? So you hear. So it's a sound. So what's sound? What? Vibration. That's exactly what I put. So music is a vocal or instrumental sound combined together to express emotion. And sound is vibration and frequencies. So when we sing out loud, when we praise out loud, we cause vibrations and frequencies. You know what things in the earth cause vibrations and frequencies to go off? Huh? Sound waves? Everything. But you know which ones are the strongest? We call them natural disasters. Earthquakes, vibrations, frequencies. Hurricanes cause vibrations, frequencies. Tsunami waves. You go down the line, and all of them have to do with some form of frequencies and vibrations. What's another thing we know about something spoken out and causing something big? All right. I guess I could lead you guys there, but I can't. make you guys. Genesis 1. God said, and what? How many times? Seven, six. He's made a bunch of things. I really don't know. But he said it and created the universe. He said and created, caused the Big Bang. He caused frequencies that are still vibrating right now. The earth, the universe is still expanding right now. So keep that in mind as we go forward. In John 4, verse 23, it says, "The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." It says to worship in spirit and in truth. And in verse 23, I really like this at the end. "For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." He's seeking for people to worship in spirit and in truth. But then the question is, what's spirit and truth? Well, the truth is, God sent Jesus to die for us. Then Jesus raised from the dead. He took the keys from hell. He made a way for us to go into heaven, took the punishment for our sins, took beatings for our healing, and all because he loved us and because he's a good God. That's truth. That is the truth. So if you worship God with that in your mind, it's in truth. And that's going to be true forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's worthy to be praised. That's a reason to praise. But then there's those days that you don't feel like it, right? Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping. Tuesdays and Thursdays are weird. We have a bad day. We don't like the person singing. We don't like the song. But the thing is, our feelings, not knowing the song, and all those things could change from one second to the next. So are all those things true? No, because they could change. So our feelings, if we're not feeling like worshiping, that's not a good enough reason not to worship. Because what do we say was true? That God is good and God loves us. And so you might think that maybe singing and music is not that important in the church. There's some churches that don't do it. That's fine. I don't know why. Because you open the Bible, and the most likely thing you're going to land on is the book of Psalms, which, if you don't know, are songs. Songs. These are songs. It's in the middle of the Bible. You could say it's what's holding the Bible together. In Revelations 4, in a lot of sections in Revelation, it talks about heaven. And one of the constant themes that when we hear about heaven, when they show heaven or talk about heaven, there's something going on. And it's worship, it's praise that's going on. And in Revelations 4, verse 8, we're going to go through 11, it says, "And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, Lord, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they exist and were created." So this is going on in heaven. Worship, singing is going on in heaven. So if it's going on in heaven, it should be going on in here too. And I truly, 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 truly believe from the bottom of my heart that everybody should sing. Everyone. And I mean everybody. It doesn't matter if you think you're tone deaf. I could guarantee that you're not. But everybody should sing. In the shower. To God. That's the important part. Everybody should sing to God. And there's a thing about voices. One of my favorite sounds, there's this artist, this worship artist named Phil Wickham. He's one of my favorites. I love listening to his albums, mainly because he's never singing by himself. He has these albums called Sing Along, and it's he goes to a church, and he records the people singing. And so you hear his voice, but you also hear the people singing with him. And those are my favorite albums because I hear people worshiping. I'd rather hear a bunch of people singing than one person singing. I'd rather hear a bunch of bad singers. A bunch of bad singers than one really good singer. There's just something about it. In the Bible, when the multitude are singing in heaven in Revelations, it tells them that they sound like rushing water. And I just think rushing water sounds really cool. And every single one of us, though, back to everybody, every single one of us should sing because we all have a different voice. We all have a different anointing. I went over that, I think, the last time I preached. We all have a different anointing. Some people in their voice might have a warfare sound. Some people in their voice might have a soft, soothing sound. Some people might have a celebratory sound. There's every single one of us has a sound that another person can't necessarily do. And that's why we should sing, because who knows, maybe if you're singing, you cause joy on the person next to you. Or maybe you cause a breakthrough with somebody else. That's why we should sing all together. We're going to read Psalms 100. I was trying to find scriptures to bring out what I wanted to say. And we could have just read the whole book of Psalms and it'd be it, but it's too long. We don't have that time for that. A psalm for giving thanks. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Are you part of the earth? Yes. So what is it telling you to do? Make a joyful noise. Make. That's another scripture. Verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and that he who made us, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. That's exactly what I wrote down. This is a reason to sing. Reason to sing. One, it's a shout to joy. Because we have joy. We have the Creator. The created us is the God of all gods. He's the God above all other idols. His love endures forever. He's never going to fail us. He's never going to forget about us. And that's enough reason, just right there, to shout for joy. Go back to verse 2. There's another reason why we should sing. You guys tell me why? You guys see why? Come into his presence with singing. How do we come into his presence? And what happens in God's presence? Joy, healing, love, peace. Guarantee almost anything that you need from God. Go into his presence and it's there. That's where we could be with him. Singing in his presence. I'm going to talk a little bit about praise and worship leaders. Some people say that praise and worship leaders are like tour guides of the presence of God. I don't like that. I don't like that. Because when I think of tour guides, I think of people that get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. They just go through the motions. They have a set schedule. And they don't depart from the safety zone. I like to think of it more as the worship leader, yeah, we go into the presence of God. We have an idea where to go. Then we come and we get all together, go and explore the presence of God. We don't have a set schedule. We don't have to go to the end. We see a river. We might go and just put our feet in the river, relax. And maybe the next time we see the river again, but then we notice in the distance a waterfall. And we go check out the waterfall and we jump in. That's the same way I feel like in the presence of God. Sometimes we will explore together, we'll see something, and we'll hang out there. It's those times as a worship leader you feel like, you're thinking in the congregation, like, are we really going to sing this song forever? Are they not going to move on? It's because we feel something in there. That's what happens with worship leaders. When we stay on something for a long time, it's because we feel something is happening. It's not because we love the song and... No, it's because we feel something is happening to somebody. God is starting to do something. That's what happens. When we explore, we go off track. We won't stay on the road. We won't stay in the safety zone. And that's my opinion on why I don't like when people call worship leaders, tour guides of the presence of God. I feel like I'm missing a page. Yep. Oh, I guess not. All right, praise and thanksgiving activates faith in us. It activates faith, yeah. And when we put our faith with praise, that's when miracles start to happen. It's like what we were singing, miracles start with praise. All miracles start with praise. In Psalms 89, 15, it goes back to it's about the presence of God. It says, blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. When I read the scripture, I'm kind of embarrassed. I didn't know what festal means. Festal. Whatever that word is, I didn't know what it was, but I feel kind of dumb when I found out what it means. What does it sound like? Festival. And that's exactly what it means. Joyous festival, a celebration. So blessed are the people who know the celebration shout, the festival shout. Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. Another verse says, who walk in your presence, the light of your presence. So in other words, the ones who know have that joyous shout, walk in the presence of God. So singing is so important. And I encourage every single one of you to sing. Sing. Here we have congregational worship. We try to have the words up on the screen because we know not everybody just sits around, listens to music all day. That would be a cool job, wouldn't it? But you should sing. We should sing together because when we unite in one singing, one voice, one chorus, we all together go into the presence of God. All together, we start hearing from God. We start moving in the Spirit. When we're all in the Spirit, we all start moving. Gifts start flowing. Here at Faith Ministries Church, we, the worship leaders, we all try to talk together. We all talk about what types of songs we sing. And a common theme that you're going to find in most of our songs, sometimes we'll do something a little bit different, but a common thing is that we don't talk about our problems. We don't sing about our problems. Because it's not about our problems. Our goal was to tell the truth about God, to sing the truth about God. And those things, when we stay on the truth of God, those things are what's going to lift us up. Those things are going to, that's what's going to take us into the presence of God. Because how could you be thankful when you're singing about how bad your life is? When we focus on God, all our problems get smaller. In Psalms, David wrote most of the Psalms. And he did exactly what I just told you guys. He wrote a lot about his problems. But every single time he said, "But God, you brought me out of that." So that problem was a little thing, and he said, "But God was so much greater." So he was like, it seems like he was telling people, saying, I was going through this, I was going through this, I was going through this, but God did this. A testimony. That's when that's okay. But when you're glorifying God, you don't sing about your problems. Because who does that glorify? Your problems. In 1 Chronicles 16, this is a little section of what should we sing? What's a good guideline of what we should sing to God? Right there, first, right off the bat, the first verse. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, tell of his salvation from the day to day. So we sing about what? Our salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. So what do we sing about again? His glory, his marvelous works. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. Another thing we could sing. For all the gods of peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Because he's the creator. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. This is holiness. Tremble before him in all the earth. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Our God reigns. Those are things that we should be singing. Those are things that will glorify God, that will take us into the presence of God. Ephesians 5, it has another thing that maybe we should be singing. Wait. Oh yeah, let's just read that. It says, look carefully, then now you walk not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So first of all, what is it telling us? In three scriptures, it tells us what? Not to be dumb and focus on God. Focus on the things of God. Do not get drunk with wine, but
For that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I went too far. Here we go. It says in the Spirit to address one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. We are to lift each other up with songs, with singing, with hymns. And I really like this part. Make a melody with your heart. I really like this because I make up songs all the time. And my daughter, she does it too. She sings about what she's doing, which is kind of funny to me. But we should make that melody, we should be okay to singing what's in our hearts, giving glory to God, even though it sounds silly. There's this show that I watch, and there's the songwriter that's in it, and he goes, oh, I love writing songs. And I just write songs all the time. And he goes, I write songs about what I'm doing. Like, I'm singing about what I'm doing. I'm writing about singing about what I'm doing. And he's singing it, and it just cracks me up. He's just singing about writing songs. It's really silly, but it makes me laugh. It doesn't have to sound good to us, because it sounds amazing to God. I understand this more now that I have a daughter. When I had a daughter, I realized how that felt. When she's singing, even though she's off key, it makes me, it tickles me. It's like, I like it. I want to hear her sing more. Like, the other day I heard her singing No Longer Slaves while she was taking a shower. And I started weeping. I started crying. Because it's just something about it that's just so good when you hear your children sing, when you hear your children joyful. The same way God, He doesn't care if we're off key. He doesn't care if we don't have rhythm. He cares that we're singing. He cares that we are joyous. And as long as we have that, it's going to be pleasing to God. As long as our heart is to worship, it's pleasing to God. Psalms 96. I feel like it's a remix of 1 Chronicles, what we just read in 1 Chronicles. Here it's David, and I think he went down the line. I don't know timeline on when it was written. I didn't look that up. I didn't want to be crazy. But here's the remix. It's not a remix. It's just further down the Bible. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. When I start on Psalms, I just want to preach the whole, every single verse. It says, a new song. Sing a new song to the Lord. If you remember going back to 1 Chronicles, I'm just going to jump there real quick. If I could find it. We go back to 1 Chronicles. It says, tell of his salvation from day to day. We get, God does so many things for us every single day that every single day we give thanks for something, it's something new. So we have new songs to sing every single day. You could say, thank you, Lord, for, what's today? July 11th, 2018. And you know what? Tomorrow, you could sing again, thank you, God, for July 12th, 2018. And guess what? Every single day for the rest of your life, you're going to have a new song. So let's go back to Psalms 96. Verse 1, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. I didn't have to go back. It was in the second verse. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all, all gods. For all gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You guys seeing that it's almost exactly the same lyrics? Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him in all the earth. We enter his presence. We enter his gates. We enter his courtyard with praise. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due his name. If you don't know what ascribe means, it's basically just a fancy way of saying give. I had to look that up too. Like, it wasn't today. It was like, it was a few years ago. But I didn't know what a scribe was. There's many types of worship. Here in this church, we have the freedom to worship however you want. If you want to dance, dance. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to shout, you shout. We don't put a restriction on you. Like, if you start twirling and dancing with flags and stuff, we might put you in the corner just so you won't hit anybody. But there's no restrictions other than that. I found some words in the Hebrew that I have no idea how to pronounce. So I put them up here with the definition. These are words, the most common words in the Bible that have to do with worship. The first one's shaka, to bow down, to prostrate oneself. To lay down before God. To lay down in reverence, to cover your face. The other one, I'm not even going to try. Proskynio. To kiss the hand towards the one in token of reverence. When I saw this one, the example it had is how a dog licks its master's hand. And for some reason, I always compare, like, I love dogs. And we could learn so much about dogs, about our Christian faith, about dogs. Like, one of the things is, like, God's dogs love us so much. Like, you could literally lock, don't do this, don't do this. But I'm pretty sure that if your dog loves you, you could lock them in a trunk, come back, open it, and they're glad to see you. They love you. They just start jumping for joy when they see you. That's love. But kiss the hands towards the one, kissing God's hands, or bowing down towards God. And those are one of the most common ones. There's other ones, but these are the most common ones in the Bible. And then there's seven common ones of praise. And I put those on up here too. Barak, to bow down or to kneel before the Lord.
The second one, I'm not going to try to pronounce these. To shine, boast, rave about, celebrate, or even be clamorous, foolish.
If you guys remember about what David did, I think this pretty much describes. Dance with everything he had. He was happy that the Ark of the Covenant was back with his people. The next one, to shout loudly or command. The other one, and to sing unrehearsed, unplanned praises. To extend or to raise your hand in thanksgiving for something that hasn't occurred or that you haven't yet received. To extend your hands vigorously as in complete surrender. To touch strings, mostly rejoicing. Those are all types of praises. Those are all praises that we are free to do. And each one might be us in a different season. Maybe when we're having a bad day, when we need a miracle, do this one, the top one, to raise our hands in thanksgiving for something that hasn't happened yet. And when it does happen, to boast, to rave, to celebrate. All these things, all these praises are things that we should be doing in some form or another. Sometimes we need to surrender to God and we just put up our hands and give God everything. So we have the definitions now of what each praise means. And so now, I want to challenge you guys to worship, to praise, to do this, to shout celebratory. I can't English today. To kneel before God, to weep before God. There is so many reasons to give thanks to God. And there's going to be more reasons to give thanks to God. We don't just praise when things are going good. We praise when all times. We praise when it's going bad. We praise when it's going okay. We praise when it's going great. So I challenge you guys, I'm letting you guys be free. Worship, praise, do something. Express your emotion towards God. If you gotta shout, you shout. If you're gonna sing, sing. If you're gonna surrender, surrender. It's all these things. Give praise and honor towards God. They glorify God. If you're saved, you have a reason to celebrate. You could see the glory of God. That's a reason to glorify God. His marvelous deeds, what he did, what you've seen him do, and what he's gonna do. And his love for us, that one is so easy to grasp, but yet so hard to comprehend. And if we could focus on those are what's gonna keep us praising God. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you, Lord, and spend time with you in your word and with you, Lord. I just thank you for the praise that's here in the heart of worship that's in this church, Lord. And I just thank you that it will continue to grow. It will continue to grow, Lord. And I just thank you for blessing every single one here, Lord. If they need a miracle, Lord, give them that miracle. Let them start thanking you for that miracle. And let that miracle happen, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that your presence will surround us at all times. That your presence will start speaking to us, with your Holy Ghost will start speaking to us, gifts and words of knowledge that will go forth, Lord. Words of prophecy, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so thank you guys for coming. Go be expressive. Go express yourselves to the world. I'm blanking out on services. What are the services? Spanish service tomorrow at 6:30. Then we have normal service Sunday at 10. Youth group Sunday at 5. And then Spanish service again on Sunday. So we encourage you guys to come back again and worship. And we'll see you Sunday.